Consumption, consumption. We, as a people, are consumed with consumption. And the question is, can something be done about our consumption? You say, why? I mean, what is life all about? Isn't it about getting more and more and more and more? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you happier because you have more and more and more, or do you just work harder? Why does God give you material possessions and the ability to make money? Do you realize that the desire to have more and more and more can bring a greater heaviness, a greater pressure, a greater stress into your life so that you really lose the joy of simple living, the joy of simplicity, the joy of not being occupied with consuming things in order to make you happy? Well, as we come to this final lesson on the book of Philippians, the book that tells us how to have joy no matter what, how to have joy, chapter 1, despite imprisonment, despite no matter what confines us, that if we know and understand that Christ is our life, then wherever we are, whatever imprisonment, whatever confinement we find ourselves in, we're all right. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. If we understand from Philippians chapter 2 that we can have joy despite people, joy despite people because we have the mind of Christ. Christ is not only our life, chapter 1, but Christ is our mind. Christ is our attitude. And our attitude and our mind is set on others. Joy is Jesus first, and then others second, and then us, you, me, in proper perspective. And so when we come to chapter 3 of Philippians, we can see that we can have joy, and we can have joy despite things because we have one goal, and that one goal is not things and attainment in life, but it is pressing on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Well, we come to chapter 4, and we find out that we can have joy despite circumstances, because whatever our circumstances are, we can make it because it is Christ who strengthens, who infuses His life in us. And yet as He infuses His life in us, how does that put us in perspective with people, with things, and with the circumstances of life? Well, as we come to this final portion of Philippians chapter 4, Paul turns and he gives a personal word of exhortation to those in Philippi. And he's going to talk to them about their support of him. Now, remember, we saw in our last program that Paul learned to be content, whether he had plenty, whether he abounded in prosperity, or whether he suffered deep, 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 and I mean deep need, whether he had plenty to eat or whether he was going hungry, he learned to be content in whatever circumstance he found himself in. And so now in Philippians 4, what he does is he segues from his being content to the fact that these people in Philippi have revived their concern of him. They have revived their support of him. And he has received this, and it has had an impact on his life. And as we look at these last final verses, what you're going to see is something that is going to be absolutely critical. I mean critical in your life. And it's going to be critical, and it's something that you and I rarely think of as critical because we are a consumptive society. We just want to consume more and more and more and more. We are far more hedonistic than we really think that we are, than we are. And hedonistic means that I am living for my pleasure. Hedonistic means it's all about me. It's all about filling my desires, satisfying my cravings, making my appetite go away for whatever by just consuming more and more. So watch Paul's segue. In Philippians chapter 4, this is what he says in verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, now watch what he uses, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Now, what is that secret that keeps you content, that enables you to rejoice? Because Paul says, I've rejoiced greatly in the Lord now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. So what is the secret that Paul has found of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need? Now, I want you to notice the word suffering. It is a painful situation that he is in. It's a lack of food, or it is a lack of provision that is causing him physical distress. He says, I've been suffering need, and yet I've learned the secret of being content. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In other words, my secret is not to look to circumstances, not to look at people, but my secret is to look to the Lord and to say, God, you are the one that has promised to supply all my needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, as I look at you, my heart's just filled with love. And I just want you to know that. And I think it's God's love for you. In fact, I'm sure it is. And I'm just sitting here and I'm teaching you, and I'm thinking, you are precious to God. And he wants the very, very best for you. That's all he wants. And the very best is not always what we think is the best. I mean, if you never suffered need, then you would never know the strength of Jesus Christ. If you were never in tribulation, you would never know the comfort of Christ. If you were never in straits where there was no way out that you could see, you would never know the miraculous provision and the sufficiency of the grace of God, beloved. There is something so precious about being in a trial. There is something so precious about having a need and not knowing how that need is going to be provided. There is something so precious about taking a look at life and looking at your life and comparing it with the world and saying to God, I'm so thankful I don't have to live like that. I'm so thankful that you have set me free from all this pressure to succeed and to dress like and talk like and live like and act like and consume like the rest of the world. I'm so thankful that you've set me free. And it's truth, beloved, that sets us free. Now watch what he says. Nevertheless, I have learned and the secret of being content and suffering need. I can do all things. I can bear all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, now watch what he does. He's going to segue now to the Philippians. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me. Now, he's not asking you to share with people so that they can buy more luxurious things, so that they can stay and be treated like kings and eat like kings and that, because they're in the ministry and they deserve it. That's not what he's talking about. Paul didn't live like that. He's saying, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And he goes on to say, you yourselves also know Philippians. Now, this is the first time he's called them Philippians. He says, you yourselves also know Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. I went in, I took them the gospel, I taught them the word of God, and if you study Acts, you know that while he was in those cities that he labored with his own hands so he wouldn't be a burden for anyone, he wasn't asking people to support him, but he made tents because he was a tent maker. And he did this so that he could say, I'm giving you the gospel without charge. And yet, for their benefit, just as for your benefit and my benefit, we have the privilege of sharing with those in the body of Jesus Christ. Watch what he goes on to say. He said, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessaloniki, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Now watch. He was in Thessaloniki. He was there and he was taking care of that church and he was bringing the gospel, and we know that he was there for at least 3 weeks. But apparently the people around him, because they were just coming to know Christ, were not supporting him. And yet before he ever went to Thessaloniki, he had been in Philippi. And when he had been in Philippi, and there was just a small group of believers at the beginning, that small group of believers sent money from Philippi to Thessaloniki to take care of Paul. You know, every year or every other year, it depends on whether we do Rome or not, but we do a teaching study tour. And we teach the book of Philippians and Philippi. We teach the book of Thessalonians and Thessaloniki. We go to Berea and teach Paul's method of operation. We drive then all the way down to Athens, and as we do, we study the book of Daniel, the prophecies of Daniel, because it all has to do with that period of history and the Greek Empire and that. And then from there, we go on down to and teach Acts in Athens, Corinthians and Corinth. We get on a cruise ship. We do a sail of the Aegean Sea, and we go to the Isle of Patmos, and we teach the book of Revelation, and then we go to other islands, and then we end up in Ephesus, where we teach the book of Ephesians right on site, so that you see all that happened. And so as I'm saying this to you, all of this is very vivid in my mind. If you want to know more about this, or you even want to get, even at this time, the study guide on Philippians, go to our website. That's preceptsforlife.com. Preceptsforlife.com. And then, right after this break, we're going to continue in this important ministry of giving, and the warning about consumption. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back, beloved. Oh, how I would love to have you go in person with us on that epistle study tour where we study Paul's epistles. And I want you to know that we don't take huge groups. And we don't take huge groups because I'm with you all day. And our staff is with you all day. I don't just show up and teach, but I am there as your primary teacher. And, oh, we study and we study and we study and we learn and we laugh and we pray and we cry. And we eat together. We share together. We just have the most wonderful, wonderful time. But as I read this, in my mind's eye, I can see Paul in Philippi. I can remember the prison where he was imprisoned. I know the distance from Philippi to Thessaloniki. And I think about Paul leaving Philippi after having spent the night in jail and after having been beaten and threatened. And then how he walked all the way to Thessaloniki. And when he got to Thessaloniki, he knew that there was a group of people that he left behind in Philippi that understood the principle of giving, the principle of working and earning money, but not for personal consumption, but for something much higher, a much higher calling. And that's the high calling of helping the saints of God and furthering the work of Jesus Christ. Watch what Paul says. He says, for even, verse 16 of Philippians 4, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Now, why would he do that? Well, before he ever went to Thessaloniki, he was in the Galatian region, and he wrote the churches in Galatia an epistle, and it's called the Epistle to the Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 6, this is what he says. In verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with him who teaches him. In other words, this program is supported only by those that have said, hey, you have taught me, and now I want to support you so that you can continue to teach me through the media of radio and television and the internet and through webinars. I want you to be able to continue to teach me, but also to teach others. I want you to be able to reach not only our nation, but the nations of the world. Well, we can't do that. We can't do that without you. We can't do that without a partnership. And the reason that we can't do it without a partnership is because it takes over 50% of our budget in order to do the work of ministry. The work of ministry in over 120 countries and over 65 languages. But we're doing the work of ministry where we get no return, but where we are providing books that teach people how to study the Bible for themselves. In Muslim countries, in Hindu countries, in countries where they are suffering for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how can we do that? Because we become a channel, and because we have taught you, and you want to share, as Galatians 6 says, with those who have shared with you, then that enables us to do the work that we're doing and also to give to others. And I tell you, honestly, we are very, very careful with the money that we spend. We don't buy expensive antiques and paintings and things like this for our ministry. We don't build huge and glorious edifices. And the reason that we don't is because there's a world out there that needs to have the gospel, that needs to know the whole counsel of God. And so that's where we put our money, and we put our money into the media so that we can reach more and more, because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know that the body of Jesus Christ needs cleansing, that the body of Jesus Christ needs freedom from all this consumption. And we know that it's the truth that sets you free, and that you're made clean by the washing of the water of the word, and that when you're in the word of God, then you take your eyes off of the temporal and you put them on the eternal. So let me just pause right now and just thank you very, very much, face to face, ear to ear, mouth to ear, for your support of this ministry. I know that there are many opportunities to support many, many things, and I thank you for supporting this ministry. And I tell you before God that we squeeze every nickel, every dime, every quarter, every dollar, and we realize that we're going to give an account to the Lord for the way we spend your money that you have given for His kingdom. So watch what he goes on to say. The one who was taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. And then he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He says, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh. And listen, when we keep consuming and consuming and consuming, we're sowing to our flesh. And it says, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You're laying up eternal treasures for eternal lives. And it says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. For I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Remember, we met Epaphroditus in chapter 2. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, precious one, when you don't consume for yourself, but when you earn money, and in earning that money, take that money and use it to minister to others, then, dear one, you are going to be used of God. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is what it says. And he's talking about what we are going to do with our money. And he goes on to say, he who steals, let him steal no longer. If you've been stealing, stop it. Okay? But rather he must labor. And this is the point I want to reach. Rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. So that, here's a purpose clause, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Why do we work? Why do we earn money? Well, obviously, to put a roof over our head and to put clothes on our back and to put food in our stomach. But it's not just to build more and more and not to lay up treasures here on earth. But rather, we labor so that we can have money, so that we can help others, so that we can be involved in eternal things. And this is the way Paul closes his epistle, with a promise that God, if you live this way, will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He does not have a tight bank account. You can never outspend God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Hey, those men that have been chained to me have come to know Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And he will be, beloved, if you're set on others and on Christ and not yourself.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
like you have just crossed the finish line? Do you feel like you're ready to stand there and to get some acclamation? Well, I want to applaud you, beloved. We have finished the book of Philippians, and you have studied with me this epistle of joy. So what is your precept for life as we bring Philippians to a close? What is the standard by which you are going to live? Well, Paul says it several times in this book, and that is that you are to rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. You are to rejoice in every and any circumstance. Now, why can you do that? You can do that because you have Christ who strengthens you. As I look at the book of Philippians, and as I think of the last chapter where Paul says, I can bear all things through him who strengthens me. I think about heaven and the fact that God has there in heaven everything that you and I will need. He has his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And here we are down here on earth trying to live in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, holding fast the word or standing firm with the word of life, so that we live not according to the standard of the world, but we live according to the precepts of God, these precepts of life. And that as we stand here on earth, and there is God who has promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord, we see that the lifeline, the bridge between heaven and earth, is the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, where Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you. Sin, remember, the cleanest, clearest definition of sin is you doing your own thing rather than doing God's thing. It's you living in the energy and strength and wisdom of your flesh instead of depending on God and living in faith and believing what God says about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then you appropriating everything that God has for you. So if you're going to rejoice, that rejoicing and that strength and that ability and that provision is going to come through Jesus Christ. So as we bring this to a close, as we look at this final precept for life, it's this: do you have life? He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Receive him today. Bow the knee and say, Jesus, my Savior, my God, I will follow you.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.